morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we welcome you back today. Glad you can join us. We talked yesterday about worship, and today we're going to continue on. Yesterday we talked about the three, the importance of worship, which are three things or so, but worship's emphasized in the Bible. We talked about that. We talked about worship edifies the people, and worship's an integral part of the church. Today we want to talk about, basically, to give you a definition of what authentic worship might be, or maybe should be. So we'll just start off right there. Authentic worship, actually, it's an active response to God in which we acknowledge His great worth. I don't know if we ever thought about that, but that's really what we're doing. We're acknowledging to God, His great worthiness, and that's our worshiping Him. Now, there's three important elements to the authentic worship, I believe. Well, the first one is a response to God. God's proactive, in the sense that He's pursued us as a lost people rather than the reverse. For He said, Romans 3:10-11 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. That's Romans 3:10-11. So God's pursuit of us is clearly seen in such great divine events as the incarnation, the death, and also the resurrection of Christ. Once we come to faith in Christ, it's in worship that we respond to Him and what He's done for us. Therefore, worship is to be a responsive experience. And I think I talked a little bit about that yesterday. That's where we miss the boat, so to speak. We sing the dull song, maybe, and then that's it. We no responsiveness to how you truly love the Lord through your worship service. The second one, was a response to God. Secondly, in the definition of authentic worship, is an active response. And, we know that worship's an event that requires, effort on our part, at least some. We don't simply sit in a pew or kneel and wait for something to happen. According to Scripture, there should be an active response on the part of God's people. We read that many different times throughout the Bible. An example, in Revelation 5, which is one of the great worship chapters in the book of Revelation, by the way, the saints sing. That was in verse 11, and they speak in verse 12 to God. Worship may also include, active physical response. An example in Revelation 5:8, it says the saints as well as others in heaven fall down before Christ, who's worshiped as the Lamb. And as some other people have mentioned, a guy said one time, and also I've had ladies say the same thing, that in their worship experience, they pray best when they're on their knees as opposed to sitting or standing up. So there can be an active response, physical response to worshiping the Lord. And that would be, when you're praising God, singing, and you really can tell, that you love the Lord, and you want to say yes, Jesus, or praise the Lord, or maybe just lift your hands up while you're singing and worship the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you're different or weird. It just means that you're worshiping the Lord, and that's all it means. It doesn't mean, if you're a non-Pentecostal, it certainly don't mean all of a sudden you become a Pentecostal and now you got to leave your church. That's not what it's about at all. We talked about that yesterday. That's just so much silliness. Now, the third, that was an active response. I believe that's part of the definition of authentic worship, also with the response to God. But the third one is it acknowledges His worth. And that's really is something I think is so vital. In discussing the English word worship, as an example, now there was some folks that let's say it's the term comes that said the term comes from the Anglo-Saxon Skype, which then was modified to worth-ship and then finally to worship. Worship means to attribute worth to something or to someone. You ever think about that when you thought about worship before? You're actually attributing worth to something or someone, and in this case, to the Lord. to God. You're worshiping the Lord. You're attributing how much he is so worthy, and that you realize how worthy he is. Now, consequently, listen, whatever we worship, rather an object or a person, we attribute various degrees of worth to that object or person. And that's another thing that you have to learn. You know, how much do you love the Lord? Now, certainly, of course, the point in Christian worship is that we're attributing supreme or, you know, ultimate worth to God. We're acknowledging that all that we value in life, we value, of all of that, we value him the most. Or you should be. If you're not, maybe that's your problem. You know, you got to acknowledge that everything that you value in life is nothing compared to your value, you know, that you have for him. You know, we're actually attempting to elevate above all else his great value and worth in light of who he is and all that he's done for you and for all of us. And that's what you should be, you know, trying to do. Now, also, there's different elements of worship that we can learn from. And all of these things, I think, as I'd said earlier yesterday, they're things that are missing out of the church today. True, honest, valuable, authentic worship. And that's something that has to be brought back into the church. Some churches are doing it, but by and large, there's a lot of dead churches out there, folks. Now, there's some elements of worship that are so important. You've got adoration, you've got confession, thanksgiving, commitment, supplication, and proclamation. All of those things are very, very vital elements of the worship. Adoration, as an example. Adoration involves acknowledging publicly and privately the attributes of our God and his great works. It's just that simple. You know, that it honors God in a most wonderful way. David did that in the Bible, remember? It also involves praising him for all he's done for us personally. And if you'll remember, in one of the best books, or not the best, but one of the great books of the Bible, is the book of Psalms. And it's just chock full of examples of adoration to the Lord. Psalms 33, 36, 105, 111, 113, 117, 135, those chapters are just full of adoration for the Lord, and there's many more. Those are just some examples. So, you know, adoration is a very important part of your worship service. It's one of the key elements. And then you've got confession. That's another element of worship. You know, confession, like adoration, can be both public and private. You know, we acknowledge our dark side, or what the Bible refers to as the flesh, and that's what, you know, we tend to refer to most of the time, is the flesh. You know, and after celebrating the goodness of God, it's only natural that we gain a deeper sense of our own sinfulness and guilt. How could you not? It's only natural. Confession's God's provision for dealing with our fleshly lust, you know, the dark side of us. 1 John 1:9 points out very pointedly that while it can be personally painful and even embarrassing, you know, God is pleased when we confess our sins to him. But not only does it serve to flesh out our spiritual systems, but it also sensitizes us to the sin. So we're more aware of it, of the sin in our lives, and it makes us more dependent upon him. And that's really, isn't that what we're supposed to be? Aware of our sinful self and dependent upon the Lord? And you don't see that a lot, do you? You see people go to church, but then they leave God at the church and they go out and depend upon themselves to do everything right and make the money and live the life that they think they should be living, when they shouldn't walk with the Lord every step of the way and every minute of the day. Another key element to worship is thanksgiving. You know, the Psalms got many examples of worship expressing thanksgiving, just many, many of them. You know, thanksgiving is just another way of honoring God. After a sincere time of confession, the natural response is to spend some time expressing our thanks to him. Don't we do that? You know, if we have a problem, we pray to the Lord and we thank him. Thank him for listening to us. Thank him for answering your prayer. His forgiveness and his blessings. We should be thanking him for all those things. Answered prayer, spiritual blessings, material blessings, all these things are things that we should be giving thanksgiving to the Lord for. And that's part of our worship. Another key element is commitment. When you understand God's, love and forgiveness in light of our sinfulness, our natural response is to present our bodies as instruments for his service. You can look that up in Romans 6, 12 and 14. Your reasonable service is to present yourself to the Lord and commit yourself to the Lord. Another key element is supplication. It's a time, prayer, is a time when we talk to God and make requests for ourselves and others, whether they be in the church or outside of the church. It's we do this publicly by one or two people or privately, by all who are present in the service, whatever. We got to make our request. They may involve, we got to make them to the Lord, and they may involve anything, marriage, jobs, friends, health, finances, decisions you got to make. It's all kinds of things that you would, that you should pray about. There's many examples in the Bible in Matthew 6:9-13 and John 17, Colossians 1:10-12. All of those, those are just some of those chapters that noted that these prayers, and wisely, they patterned their own after, this. So we've got to remember that, supplication is very important. Proclamation is the last of the six elements of worship that I mentioned today. Proclamation is the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching involves worship, and that it too is a response to God that acknowledges publicly is, his great worth. Proclamation could occur at the beginning, the middle, or any time in a service, but most often it's at the end, naturally. But that's the part of your worship that comes right after the singing and everything else, So all these elements are important for worship. They're just vital that you try to include all of these different elements in your worship. Now, your overall worship service, the whole service, it's you put this all together, and you got a commitment of your life to Christ. You got, it becomes more important, your authentic worship becomes more authentic than before. And it really becomes balanced out to where you've learned how to worship the Lord. You learn how to give yourself to the Lord more. And also it edifies the Lord, but it also edifies you, so that you can now go out and share the gospel with people and tell the people. So, we have a great worship service and a great preaching service. Even in our preaching, we'll listen to the sermon it's just right on, and it's right on there, spot on, as they like to say. And it'll make you want to worship the Lord. And you will worship the Lord. A good preacher, you'll hear a lot of amens and praise the Lord's, and maybe even that's right, preacher, and things of those natures, because the preacher's worshiping the Lord with his message. And then you worship the Lord in response to the message. So see, it all works hand in hand. It all works together, but it begins with a good, service. The first part is your musical service, where you're lifting up your hands, you're praising the Lord in song and praise, and then you go into your service part, where your worship part is the preaching. All that tied together becomes really, really a wonderful service for all to experience. It makes everything so much better for you and for the kingdom. I think that's missing in the church. I think it's something that we have to get back to. It's something that's been left out because man has become so important to himself that he's changed the way we worship the Lord. So, I pray you hear what we're saying. We'll continue on tomorrow. We're out of time today, but God bless each one of you. We love you, and Jesus loves you.